So you nerdy folks out there probably know this. My daughters do. One of the pioneers in computer programming was Ada Lovelace, the 19th century woman, romantic and intellectual, who collaborated with mechanical computer inventor Charles Babbage back in the 1840s. Lovelace was the software wizard to Babbage's hardware genius. Her calculating programs paved the way for modern algorithms that can be found today in your electronic calculator. Ada Lovelace had math and software in her blood, apparently. Daughter of Lord Byron, the poet. There's some software. But Lovelace was a loner in her time. Unlike Maria Clave, a computer scientist, she calls it CS, of today, and president of Harvey Mudd College in Claremont, California.
I'm of an age that when I went to college, there were very few women majoring in mathematics. There were actually many more women at that time majoring in computer science than there were in mathematics, which is pretty funny. It used to be that when people were thinking about majoring in computer science, nobody had any experience with computers in the home because there weren't any PCs at that point. And so people weren't really sure what it was all about, but it seemed to involve typing. And for some reason, that seemed to be something that women were thought to be possibly good at.
Well, today, the presumption that women would excel at computer science, and especially coding and programming, has slipped in favor of men who are overwhelmingly represented in the ranks of coders graduating from college. Who is trying to change that? Let's talk to New Tech City host Manoush Zomorodi. Welcome, Manoush.
Hello there, John.
So what have we lost here in America, and why?
There was this key moment, it turns out, in the middle of the 80s when PCs came into homes and schools. And what happened was is that most of the kids, what they did with PCs was they played computer games. And most of those computer games were sort of shoot 'em up sort of things and sort of boy-centric stuff. And very quickly, this is according to Maria Clave, and I remember this myself growing up in the 80s, boys became the computer hogs at homes and schools, and it sort of just seemed that computers were a boy thing. And the percentage of computer science majors, which had been pretty much equal, dropped precipitously, almost like, you know, dying out like the dinosaurs, down to 10%.
Blame it all on Gonzaga and asteroids. Well, why did this happen in America? Because it's really an American thing here.
Yes, very much so. The U.S. is behind tons of other countries when it comes to offering computer science to school-age kids. Now, I spoke to some female computer science majors at Hunter here in New York City. They were from Russia, from India, and neither of them could think of any other classmates who were born or raised in the U.S. who were also female. Akanksha Verma is from India.
The fact that they don't offer computer science here at high school level, I thought that was really disappointing because when I was in India, I did my 9th and 10th grade there, and I had a very strong computer science background from India. But when I came here, when I did the rest of my high school, there was no computer science. Like, I completely lost touch with computer science pretty much as a high school student in America.
So the divide in the United States between, imported students and homegrown American students, how are institutions trying to correct this?
So at Harvey Mudd, they took a very specific approach. They renamed the introduction course from Introduction to Programming in Java to something called Creative Approaches to Problem Solving in Science and Engineering Using Python. Using words like creative and problem solving, that just sounded more approachable. They taught Python, which is more forgiving and practical. And what they did was they divided the class into two groups, gold for people with no coding experience and black for those with some coding experience. Instead of trying to weed out the weak, they also implemented something that they called eliminating the macho effect. You know that guy in the front of the class who's always raising his hand and he knows what everything. Well,
you're,
they took
you're
him
talking
aside.
To him.
Oh,
you,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, John,
sorry.
They would have taken you aside and they would have said, you're so
yeah.
passionate about the material. You're so well prepared.
Yeah.
Let's continue our conversations just one-on-one, you and me, and let's not intimidate the other people who don't go there. Now, this class was just as challenging, just as tough, and the women stuck with it. And literally overnight, Harvey Mudd's introductory computer science went from being the most despised introductory course to the absolute favorite.
And in terms of its track record in attracting women, what's the rate?
Well, it went up to 40%. They now have 40% computer science
wow.
majors. And this has
That's
been
huge.
Applied in numerous other variations on the theme at places like Duke, at Berkeley.
What's going on at Hunter?
Well, yeah, so back to Hunter, they have not applied any of these, and they really are lamenting their sort of gender difference, because here's what the head of the computer science department says is the problem that typically happens with the curriculum.
The first program that almost everybody writes is called the Hello World program, where you get the computer to print out the message Hello World in a programmatic way. Almost universally, it's, wow, that's cool. I mean, everybody gets that. I think the difference is that the male students look around and say, well, how exactly did that happen? Whereas the women students probably look at it and say, oh, wow, that's cool. What else can I do?
The diplomatic William Sackis, who heads the computer science department at Hunter, does he have a preference over female to male students?
No, but what he's saying right now is that the college curriculum at most places really plays to the male student's typical inclination. And one thing that Professor Clave did at Harvey Mudd was focus on projects that really showed the applications of coding, which the women gravitated towards.
We had students working on things like educational games and a version of Dance Dance Revolution for the elderly and epidemiology modeling and, you know, things that they could see you were using computing technology to actually work on something that mattered.
Which are techniques that would be good for anyone to witness in the classroom.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And now that computer science is not a niche thing, as it is infiltrating every single part of our economy, we need more computer-skilled people, period, no matter what their gender.
Manoush Zomorodi. For more of Manoush Zomorodi's reporting on women in coding, just head over to newtechcity.org and be sure to listen to the New Tech City podcast. Thanks, Manoush.
Thank you, John.
So the conversation you are having is about the question, are you in control of how you are using technology?
Hi, my name is Lynn. I'm calling from Watertown, Mass. My phone, my computer, they all own me. I am definitely addicted to my phone. I limit myself to just my smartphone because I feel that if I am on the computer or I do Facebook or anything like that, I will be sucked in for good.
Lynn is pretty strong out there. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE to share your story. React and share at thetakeaway.org. Coming up, how technological systems want to make all jobs industrial processes. We'll explain what that means in a moment.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.